find that I'm safe and warm in your loving arms. I find that I'm safe and warm in your loving arms. You see me and you know me, and you love me through and through. You see me and you know me, and you love me through and through.
And you know me, and you love me through and through. Lord, you see me, and you know me, and you love me through and through. Said I, there. In your love, in love, oh, I find that I'm safe and warm. In your love, in love, you see me, and you know me, and you
Amen. The song said, give them their flowers. Give them their flowers while they live. You know, there are some times when parents can upset us as kids. But there should never be anything that a parent can upset you over that you can't get over. So you have to love your parents in spite of it all. Love your mother. Amen. One of the greatest loves we'll ever experience is a mother's love. Even if you mess up, if you on death row, your mother would never lose that love. Amen. So we just bless the Lord for that. We thank God. Amen. For a mother's love. And we're going to ask you to stand at this time for our scripture reading. And we honor the Lord. We thank God for all of our visitors. Amen. Thank God for Robert and his family traveling from Syracuse to be with us. And we thank God. Thank God. And this is Mother's Day, so we want Mother with us. So we ask God for seeing her again as well. Amen. It's nothing like a mother's love. Amen. If some of you children haven't spoke to your mother or called her up in a while because of some little insignificant nothings, put that insignificant nothing aside and call your mother. You know, if it wasn't for your mother, guess what? You wouldn't be here. So whatever the issues may be, can we put that aside? Amen. There's nothing like a mother's love. We bless the Lord. Thank God for my wife. Amen. And being the mother to all my kids and the mother to all of you too. Amen. We all have hard times. She's on the phone working with you. And it's nothing like a mother's love, but we thank God. We don't want to keep you a long time because I'm sure you all have some kind of plans this afternoon. And if you don't have plans, at least go by and tell your mother hello. I'm going to take away all your excuses. Because there's nothing like a mother. Amen. We do the fathers on Father's Day. You know, sometimes we allow little things to happen. And we have a nerve to get mad at our parents. Well, I grew up down in Georgia, Atlanta. And they told us from the time that we could understand, honor your mother and father. For it's the first commandment we promise. And if you don't honor your mother and father, you won't live all your days out. And we were young, we didn't want to die young. So we never learned to dishonor. Amen. To this day, I never ever spoke back to my mother or father. Probably not just for the honor, but back then, they didn't do that 1, 2, 3 stuff that y'all do today. And all that time out. Yeah, I talked back. I knew what was coming. I probably tried it once. Now South Asians use switches. Y'all know about that, right? Y'all got 1, 2, 3 and all this other stuff. I heard someone say, if you beat them with the rod, they won't die. By the time that switch hit you and you were screaming the next day, you learned you're gonna do that again. So I never spoke back to my mother, I never spoke back to my father. I might have thought some stuff, but I didn't let it out. Because you're supposed to honor. I always ask this, you know, sometimes when people get to be in their 40s, 50s, well, even y'all 30-year-olds, 20-year-olds, you know, like, people be talking back to their parents, I'd be shocked. Because I'm trying to figure out, when did the parent ever stop being the parents? Right? If you're 20 and you still got a parent, you still on the child. If you're 40 and you still got a parent, you still on the child. So when did God ever give us an exclusionary clause? The same as you're grown, you can still disrespect them. All right. I didn't mess with them too long. But I'm just telling you Bible truth. Bible truth is, if you're 90 and your parent is 110, guess what? So when do you ever stop honoring? Right? When do you? Yes, my mother made me mad. But she didn't know. My father made me mad more than my father, more than my mother, but he never knew it. My father beat me 2 times in my life, I remember. Never forget him. My ex sent me. He beat me the night before, and I went to school crying the next day. I'm talking about a one time. My mother was a good mother, but if we rolled our eyes early and she had our hands, we got it. So we all learned to roll our eyes. Brush, comb, whatever it was coming. So we learned. Amen. So after all these years, I can still say I honor my mother, I honor my father. Even in their death, they're still alive in me because of what they taught me. Amen. Well, let us go to Matthew chapter 13. So all you kids have not spoken to your parents in a long time, get it right. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm never gonna feel sorry for a kid if you don't know what my parents did. Just to relate a story, I know y'all said, but you always do this. Do you always do this? There was a man on death row. And he was on death row and they gave him. He said, what is your one request? And he said, I just want to have a private conversation. Well, I think y'all sit down for a minute. I'll let y'all sit down. I thought y'all was trying to get y'all blood circulating. That's right. He was on death row, and he said, what is your final request? He didn't ask for a special meal. Amen. He didn't ask for anything. He said, I just want to have a private conversation with my mother. And the mother was honored and felt proud that her son's only request was to have a private, and this is a true story. This ain't preaching. You know, sometimes when you preach, you kind of stretch the boundaries a little bit. This is true. So when the mom came up, the son said, Mom, no, I want you to get a little closer because I don't want anyone to hear what I have to say to you. And the mom got close. He said, no, Mom, you got to get closer. And because he was shackled, when the mom got close enough, he bit her ear off. And the mom was shocked at everyone else. And the mom, he told the mom, he said, if you had given me some guidelines, if you had given me some parental parameters, he said, I wouldn't be where I am today. So if your parents have given you some structure, some discipline, don't be mad, but be glad. That'll understand. There's no charge for that. What I'm saying is this, children, honor your parents. The first commandment with promise, amen? We're gonna read from Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 through 28. Matthew chapter 13 verses 24 through 28, and I say, there's nothing your parents can do that you can hold a grudge for months and years. I heard somebody say, get over it. Amen. And it just seems so simple to do because if I didn't have a mother and father, I wouldn't be here. All right, so a lot of times we listen to all those other voices that tell you what you ought to do. In the word of God, I heard him say, I have a hiding place. Verse 24, if we're going to read this together. If you don't have it in your Bible, it's on the screen. Verse 24 through 28, you will have it. Amen. Let us read. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares along the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servant of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, what wilt thou then, that we go and gather them up? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you this afternoon. Lord, we honor all of the mothers on this Mother's Day. Lord, we bless you. Hallelujah. We thank you in the name of Jesus for every mother that's in the congregation. Every mother that's alive, Lord, we bless you for them. And we ask you to give their children a mind to honor them. Now on this afternoon, Lord, we ask you to send a word. Lord, speak to us on this afternoon. Make us to be what you have us to be. Lord, we ask you for the spirit of surrender. Lord, give us a mind to surrender our will to you. And Lord, above all, give us an ear to hear what the Spirit would say to the church. And our request, Lord, is speak for thy servant here. And for this, we thank you. Can the church say in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated. Amen, you may be seated. Another parable put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemies came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. So our message on this afternoon is, don't you fall asleep. That's a double message. Spiritually, don't you fall asleep, man. Physically, don't you fall asleep. Amen. Because we want you to hear this. Don't you fall asleep. And when you think of falling asleep, a lot of times you say, well, I'm not sleeping. There is a natural sleep and there is a spiritual sleep. With that in mind, let us turn to Romans chapter 13. And then we'll come back to this. He said, while he slept, an enemy came and planted tares among the wheat. Amen. And he said, well, what do you want us to do? The Lord said, let them grow together. He said, and at the end, the reapers will separate the wheat from the tares. Well, why? Because when wheat and tares grow, they look the same. It's hard to tell the difference as they grow, and they look the same as they grow. When they a tear looks like a wheat, but how many know when we eat wheat, unless you have a wheat allergy, wheat gives you nutrition and health. But tares are the opposite. Tares will give you trouble and even cause death because a tear is something that is poisonous. So the enemy never plants something good in us. He always plants something that's going to hurt us. And a tear also spiritually could be referred to as a false doctrine. We talk about a snare. A tear, rather. Well, who plants the tear? The enemy, right? The devil plants the snare. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. And we go slow enough because we don't want you to fall asleep. I said, don't fall asleep. Y'all listen to this test. If anybody falls asleep, I'm going to call your name out. How did that work? If I don't know your name, I say you in the such and such row in the middle. No, I won't do that. But it's a danger in falling asleep. So Romans chapter 13, verse 8. The scripture says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another has the law. The law is the royal law, that thou art to love thy neighbor as thyself. For this thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love. Because love worketh. When you love somebody, you don't try to hurt them. Amen. Somebody said, that's in the family. He didn't say your family. He said your what? Neighbor. Your neighbor is anyone that's in the vicinity of where you are. So if you go to China, you still got to show love because in that vicinity, that is now your neighbor. Amen. So the Lord was taking away every excuse. You know, somebody said, I easily love my family, but God. The Lord said, oh, no man, anything except for to love them. Amen. So then we're trying to identify how you know you might be falling asleep spiritually. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the. If you don't love, you don't keep the law. The scripture says, even if you keep all of the law, you're guilty in. In one point, he said, you're guilty in all. So, love is to fulfillment of the law. And that knowing the time, that is there a high time to await? When Paul was writing this, who was he writing this letter to? The church. You mean the church had fallen asleep? Yes, he's writing to the church. Well, what are some of the characteristics of falling asleep when you don't do what the Bible says? You are falling asleep. He said, for there is a salvation nearer than what we believe. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Remember the scripture said Jesus was the light of the world. He was the light. It said, and because he was the light, the darkness comprehended him not. When you're in light, darkness has no control. Because light outshines darkness. Somebody said, what happened when you put a whole lot of darkness together? You don't have no light. That's why the Bible says that when you're in church, you are the light of the world. Everywhere we as a saint or child go, we ought to be light. Somebody said, well, I just go to the ball, I just relax. You still are the light. Amen. Somebody, now this might be a little challenging here. When I go to work, all I want to do is get paid. You still are the light. Because the darkness represents evil. It represents walking in disobedience to God. Darkness represents walking contrary to God. It says Jesus was the light of the world and the darkness comprehended him. I wonder how many of us today have the testimony. It's easy in church. All right. What's the name of my message?
Don't fall asleep.
Name of my message is what?
Don't fall asleep.
You know, sometimes you're like, you know, when you get tired, I'll give you permission to get up in the back and get some spiritual jumping jacks. Right? You need to get the blood flowing again in your body. But darkness is represented by the enemy. Darkness is the devil. Darkness lies. Alright? You would be in darkness and all of a sudden you go into light and you can't see. You ever experienced that before? You're in darkness and you walk into some light and you have to wait for a while to get it all together. But when you're in that darkness, isn't it amazing how you can be in darkness and still see? Because your eyes will adjust to the darkness. Well, Paul is addressing the Roman church and he says it's high time to awake out of sleep. And letter part of verse 12 says, cast off the works of darkness, let us put on the
armor of light.
Well, how do we begin by putting on the armor of light? The very next beginning of the next verse says, let us walk what?
Honestly.
Right. Not deceptively, not according to our own will, not according to our own mind, but let us walk
honestly.
Well, if I walk honestly, I cannot fall asleep. But when I begin, hallelujah, to listen to the voice of the enemy, when I begin to do what I want to do, I have the tendency to fall asleep. He says, verse 14 says, but put ye on. Somebody said, well, how can I get out of darkness? Just put on Jesus. Yeah, act like Jesus. Talk like Jesus. Walk like Jesus. Believe like Jesus. He said, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill. So if we were to try to make a personal assessment today of what does it mean to be in darkness or to be asleep, you're making too much provisions for the flesh. You're fulfilling the lust of the flesh. So Jesus said, it's time for the church to awake out of sleep. Jude said, but ye beloved, earnestly contending for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints of God. If ever there was a time of darkness, if ever there was a time when people Today is the day. The Lord in the Matthew, the 24th chapter, they asked the Lord, what are the signs of the times of the end of the world? And the Lord begins to say, when you hear earthquakes in diverse places, when you see famine and pestilence, he said, it's time for the church to look up, because our redemption is drawing nigh. And then he drops down in the 42nd verse of his 24th chapter, or actually the 43rd verse of the 24th chapter, and the Lord says, he said, now, if you had watched like you ought to watch, to watch means to be spiritually alert. Peter tells them, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, that's the enemy. Your adversary, the adversary, walking about in a borderline, seeking whom he may. Hallelujah. Don't you know that day the devil is looking for who he can devour? He wants to put you in darkness. He wants you to not watch and be alert, so he can get the advantage over you. But don't you fall asleep. Amen. Be sober, be vigilant. To be sober means you have to be alert. To be vigilant means you have to be watching. Why? Because the devil is setting pitfalls. The devil is setting traps, even for the church. So Paul said it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now is your salvation nearer than when you first believe. Hallelujah. Somebody said, what are the signs of the time of the last day? Jesus said, the love of many shall wax cold. Lord, as you watch the news and you see policemen can eat, just shoot somebody 7, 8, 9, 10 times, you know love is not there. Amen. You know that there's an issue going on in their system. Because how can you as a human being shoot somebody else 7 or 8 times and then turn around and laugh about it? The love of many are waxing cold. Jesus said these are signs of the last day. But he said in the latter part of chapter 24, he said, now if the good man of the house had known at what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken in. I'm wondering how many this afternoon your house has been broken into. I wonder how many this afternoon, hallelujah, you're drifting away from God because spiritually you are asleep. What I'd like to tell you today is don't you fall asleep. It's time, hallelujah, for the church to look up, because our redemption is drawing nigh.
Short terms.
You know, like even if you want to get rich, you want to do it tomorrow. Everything we want to do, we do it short term. The devil has no short term. The devil will work in your life a lifetime to get you. The scripture says concerning Solomon, when Solomon first began to walk with God, that God spoke to Solomon. This is the only king that the Lord spoke to three times face to face. Not another king did he speak to like he spoke to Solomon. Amen. And Solomon had dreams and God spoke to him. But the devil had a desire to have Solomon that he may sift him as wheat. I want to have the devil submitted into your knees before God today that he might sift you as wheat. So the scripture says that Solomon walked with the Lord. But somewhere around the age of 52, Solomon allowed some things that come into his life that turned his heart away from following his God. And I believe if you read about it in 2 Chronicles chapter 11, it says that Solomon clung to his strange wives to the point that his love for his wives exceeded his love for God, and he wound up turning his back on the Lord. So it took the devil 40 years when he got Solomon. The problem with us in church is we think we've been doing all right for a few months and a few years. The devil is not satisfied that you're sold out for God. I'm going to go here. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Let's see what the Lord himself says about falling asleep and not being watchful and not being alert. Amen. Jesus in the latter portion of chapter 24 says, be careful. The reason that you don't fall asleep, he said, in the hour that you think not, the Lord is coming. You know, and I've known of people that say, you know, I'm going to get my life together spiritually next week. But they died this week. So they thought they had more time. The devil has a mark on every last one of us. You got a bullseye on you. Amen. You know, a lot of times, and this is what happens, a lot of times when you get saved, you know, when you're walking in the world and you're all doing all the wrong stuff, everything is going all right, and you get saved. And somebody says, it seems like everything caves in. You ever notice that? Well, I thought getting saved was going to be easier than this. Paul said he came to encourage the church that we shall through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And then the psalm said, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord. Got worse. They didn't get worse. God was allowing you to be tested to see if you would honor him by keeping his word or not. Now, how do you know when things get real bad? It's kind of hard to see God. Right? When things are hard, it's hard to see God. He said, Lord, if you were really with me, how can these things be? Lord, if you're with me, how come my life seem like it's falling apart and things are 100 times worse than they ever were? Don't you fall asleep. That's nothing more than the devil's attempt to get you to fall asleep spiritually. Then the number one indicator to you fall asleep spiritually is now it's all about you. Right? It's all about what you want. It's all about your desire. Amen. When the Bible says, seek ye first, I wonder this afternoon if God were to search us. Could we from the depths of our souls say, I've been seeking God first? servant, we are searching after the Lord and God. Amen? Matthew chapter 26. I like to preach. Because a lot of y'all come to church on Wednesday, who we have Bible class. Right, so I have to, so I say, your service will be a long, you be a long service. Because I have to preach. Right? After I preach and get you high, I gotta let you sit down so we can teach. Amen. Because the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing, getting wisdom. But in all that getting, you need to get
understanding.
The devil knows that if you don't understand God's word, then he can blindside you. If you don't understand God's word, he'll get you to believe a lie instead of the truth. Amen. Matthew chapter 26. This is the Lord himself speaking about watching. That's why at the end of every sermon, we end with what? Watch and
pray.
And pray. But for some of us, it's become too mechanical. We're saying watch and pray because that's what everybody else said. But when you leave out these doors, are you looking for the devil? When the Bible says be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. Y'all want to talk to somebody so y'all awake up a little bit. See your adversary. Look at somebody and tell me your adversary. Alright, that's good. Look at somebody on the other side. See your adversary. Well, who's the adversary? The devil. Is walking about as a seeking whom he may. And I don't care what age you are. You can be young, the devil still wants to devour you. I don't care what your position in life is, the devil still wants to devour you. Matthew 26 and verse 35 reads, Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not. Peter said, anybody else says that? Hey, nothing anybody can do to make me deny the Lord. Peter said, I've seen all the miracles. I've seen all the healings. I've seen all the Lord. He said, there ain't nothing you can do to make me deny the Lord. He said, follow me. All right? So Peter makes his stand. I'm standing for God no matter what. Anybody ever said that until something happens? And all of a sudden that standing for God is not so important anymore. Amen. Peter said, nothing will make me deny him. Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and
pray.
He said, now I want you to sit here. I'm going to go over there and
pray.
Now what was the Lord doing? He was modeling for them because his hour of temptation was approaching. He knew that his time, the end, was approaching. So he said, I want to go over yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and
very heavy.
Then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. He said, but tarry ye here and
watch
with me. Amen? Lord said, I want you to watch me because I'm about to go through the worst test of my life. And if we, you ever had some of those tests, you say, Lord, where in the world?
Jesus.
I mean, if you're real.
Yeah.
So where did this test come from? The Lord was about to experience the worst test in his entire life. He said, now I'm making preparation for my test. Now, if you want to know how to get through your test, he said, now you what? Watch me. I want to get you prepared for the test. So he said, watch me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He said, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou. Lord didn't want to suffer in the flesh, in humanity. But spiritually, he said, for this cause was I born. For this purpose came I into the world, that I might die for your sin. So the Lord knew his purpose, but flesh. Flesh don't want to suffer. He said, Lord, if it be possible, let this hour pass from me. He said, but nevertheless, how many of us can really say that? Nevertheless. My will, but thy will be done. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them
asleep.
Don't you fall asleep there. God is watching for you. God is trying to show you what you have to do in order to get victory. Find them asleep and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me?
1 hour.
That's what the church has developed, to stand there praying for 1 hour. Amen. Because Jesus said, listen, I'm about to go through the worst trial. Can we say the worst trial? There's a trial coming all my ways. Amen. The Bible said, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing had happened. It's on its way. But he said, you got to watch and pray. Well, what am I watching? Because I'm modeling to show you how you, what you have to do in order for you to go through. So he said, could not you watch with me? That's why we try to pray at least an hour a day. Somebody said, I can't pray an hour altogether. Add it up. Give it in. Amen. Get your prayer. Amen. Jesus said, men ought to always pray and not
pray.
Don't faint. You got to pray. That's the number one way that you fight the devil is through prayer. Because when you pray, the power is not in you, but now the power is in the Lord. He says, verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not in Tim. Somebody said, every time you turn around, I'm facing. Are you watching and praying? Because Satan tempts you to offset temptation. He said, the spirit indeed, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy. Now he's showing them every time he prays, he answers the prayer with what? Thy will be done. How many of you in this afternoon have got to that place spiritually that you say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Lord, not what I want, not what I think, but thy will be done. Lord, in order for me to make it to heaven, verse 43 says, and he came and found them. God said, I'm trying to get you out. And all you keep doing is, don't fall asleep. Anybody fall asleep? Oh, don't fall asleep now. It's too close. Amen. And for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away and prayed the
third time.
Same. The Lord was using the same words. Well, somebody said, well, how do I keep getting into these pitfalls? How do I keep getting into these traps? Because you're not giving them God's will be done in your life. You keep doing what you want to do. Remember he told them in Romans, he said that their desire is to please the flesh. Their gratification was for their own pleasures and lust. Somebody said, well, how do I keep getting in these pitfalls and traps? You're not watching. You're not praying. And your only desire is to please yourself. So the Lord three times ended the prayer with not. How many can honestly say that? Lord, not my will, but hallelujah, Lord. My only desire, I'm talking about me, my only desire is to make it to heaven. If you don't want to know, all I can tell you is don't you hinder me. Hallelujah. I know the devil's the devil. And I know the devil's design is to set pitfalls and traps. But I made up my mind a long time ago. I decided to follow Jesus and I'm going through. I know the devil's going to fight. I know he's going to say crap. Hallelujah. But I'm on the Lord. Who's on the Lord's side? I said, who's on the Lord's side? Who's sold out to Jesus? I'm sold out. Amen. So the third time, verse 45 said, then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, see, you didn't prepare for the test. The test is on the way. You didn't prepare for the test. He said, I've been trying for three times. I wonder how many have God been trying to get your attention for a little while? How many have God of us this afternoon, has God been trying to wake out of sleep? God has been trying to wake you up, but you keep getting into these traps and temptations that you can't come out of because it's not about His will, but it's about thy will. Then cometh He to His disciples and saith unto them, sleep on and take your rest, for the hour is come. The Son of Man has been betrayed. Amen. We're going to close. Now, Lord willing, I'm going to tempt y'all. Can I tempt y'all? Lord willing, we're going to finish this on Wednesday. So you want to get some victory? Come out on Wednesday, because I don't have enough time to go through all this. But I'm going to finish in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But with the help of the Lord, we shall finish this on Wednesday if the Lord permit. Now, if you know you've been in a spiritual stupor, you've been in spiritual darkness, half the time you don't know which direction you're heading, come out on Wednesday. And we're trying to help you a little more, amen? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1 reads, whether the times and season, brethren, you have no need that, you know, even the world says something is going on. If you listen to the news, they say, what, is this the apocalypse? This is the news. They realize that something is going on. So Peter said, other times and season, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. Well, this is Paul, not Peter. For yourselves know perfectly that that day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall. But ye, brethren, are not in. Anybody so glad you're in the light and not in darkness? Give God a wave for it. Lord, I'm just so glad I'm not in the darkness, but I'm in the light. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are the children of. Anybody glad to be in the light? Lord, I'm so glad to be in the light. And children of? The Bible said men love darkness rather than light because what? Their deeds were evil. So darkness represents wickedness and evil, and light represents God and good. Somebody said, I look at my life and I got so much evil that I'm doing. That's not light. That is darkness. Amen. And now let me give you this scripture. Can I give y'all one scripture? Yes. Paul said, recompense no man evil for evil. Right? He said, for if vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, he said, I will. Now we're talking about trying to be in the light. Right? In order to be in the light, we have to do his will. Then Jesus said three times, not mine. Can any of us honestly tell God today? Now, if you read in the latter portion of Romans chapter 13, he says, walking honestly to get out of sleep. Can we honestly say today, I'm not talking about with your best friend, your preacher parent, and a lot of us have preacher parents and preacher relatives. I'm not talking about with them watching, I'm talking about with God watching you today. Can you honestly say, Lord, not my will, but thy God modeled for them how to overcome temptation. How to overcome the tests and trials of life. Not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. He said, therefore, let us not sleep as do. Now, who is Paul writing to? The Thessalonians is a what? Church. He said, even in church, the church has fallen asleep. He said, let us not sleep as do others. Amen. But let us watch and that's what Peter said, be sober, be vigilant. You have to watch and be. The devil is setting pitfalls. The devil is setting traps. But we have gotten so complacent in our spirituality, we no longer pray like we used to pray. And we don't watch like we ought to watch. He says, for they that sleep in the what? Night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, what a day, Lord, what a day. But let us, Lord, the day be sober, putting on. not appointing the church unto wrath, but to obtain salvation by as we all sing. Don't fall asleep now. God's coming is ever so close. As the elders, the ministers, and the altar workers come forward, I don't know what pitfalls, I don't know what traps you allow to come in your life that has you spiritually diverted. Am I spiritually diverted from following the Lord? But it's time to awake out of sleep. Because now, not tomorrow, not next year, but now is our salvation. Nearer than what pitfalls, what traps, what temptations, what setups has the devil put in your way that you no longer are following God? What setup, what traps has he sent in your way that you lost confidence in the Savior? It's high time to wake out of sleep, because now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed Evangelist Ministry.
Praise the Lord.